Welcome back to the Talk 20s podcast. Are you looking for love and are you fed up of the dating apps? Well, today's episode is going to give you the behind the scenes tea from one of the UK's most exciting dating companies who are doing things a little bit different. Yes, we're joined by the creators of Thursday and we're very pleased to have a very full sofa here in the Talk 20s studio. So if you're looking to find your match or maybe you're here because you're interested in what it takes to build a business in the dating world, then this is the episode for you. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and haven't yet checked us out on YouTube yet, what are you waiting for? We've got loads of things coming to our YouTube channel in the next year, so make sure you hit that subscribe button. Let's get on with the show. In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. So George, Harry, Matt, welcome to Talk 20s podcast. I'm very excited for a Thursday and Talk 20s collab.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank
it's
you
super much. Exciting. We always kickstart the podcast. And before we get to know you and what you guys do at Thursday, we always kickstart with a little bit of a tradition where we ask you guys to look back 365 days on your camera roll and share with us a photo that hopefully no one's seen before or gives us at least a little bit of a like behind the scenes to your life. So come on, get your phones out. I know you've been asking for approval whether you can share it. So I'm hoping it's some juicy stuff you've got to show us.
Do you want to start?
Yeah, mine's nothing really that exciting. Okay. Mine's a picture of me and my siblings, actually.
That's
I think
a lovely
it must be taken
one.
At a weekend.
And what's the story behind that one?
We all went to my sister's for the weekend. So it's quite, we all live everywhere. So it's quite rare. Okay. We're all together. But we kind of make like once, twice a year, Christmas, and sometime the other year we'll get together. So I think that was March last year.
Because we were talking before and like we're all from huge families. Yeah. Like I'm one of four.
I'm one of four too.
So am I.
Okay.
And
so
me.
We're all one of four, which is a lot. I mean, it gets loud, doesn't it? When you're like in a room full of brothers and sisters. So that's mad. I think that's quite rare as well. Four people on a podcast, all like.
One of four.
Yeah,
one of four.
It's crazy.
I'm second.
I'm youngest.
I'm second.
I'm eldest.
Ah.
Interesting. Do you think there's anything that is like core traits that you have if you're the oldest, youngest or middle child? Like,
supposedly, so, yeah, being the middle child, I think I can say this. Apparently we're the most sort of complicated and most sort of unpredictable,
ooh,
which I think is probably fair.
They always say the eldest is the most successful.
And that's me then.
That explains a lot.
And what about the youngest?
I mean, I always get like, spoiled. Oh, you're the most spoiled. But I'm definitely not. But
100% my little brother is the most spoiled.
I think
100%.
I get away with the most of my family. Yeah. I do, like, even at the age of like 26, I could be like, oh God, to my siblings, can you help me with this? Yeah. And I'll get away with it.
I'm the only boy, so I get away with it.
Yeah. Oh. That's cool. But go on then, Matty, show us what is this?
I had to ask George if he was actually happy for me to share this, but a little bit of background. We went to one of our investors in Berlin, the Jägermeister family, and they have a venture capital arm called Best Nights VC. And they were doing a Portco day, which is basically Portfolio Companies Day. And basically, each company that they'd invested in was doing a talk on what they were sort of up to and like what they were getting up to with their sort of with the investment and how they're progressing and sharing learnings. And I was sat at the back of the room and I just died because
I regret giving you permission to share this.
George
now.
Was sat at the front.
Keen, very keen.
We'd already got the money, so really, really keen. And was sat at the front. And I actually had to walk out of the room and just because I just couldn't breathe with laughter pretending to be on the phone because George was sat there at the very front in front of all these very big investors with his arm crashing.
Please, can you show the camera?
I can indeed.
Everyone can see. That is absolutely.
And then I texted him while I was in there. I honestly couldn't breathe. And I said,
oh my gosh.
Sort your crack out, mate. I'm dying.
Oh,
and that was this time last year. You were just sat there with your bum out in a
moment of
things.
To be honest.
But afterwards, I had to keep going out because every time I came back in, I saw it. I just had to go back out. And yeah, so that was my photo. It's just been an interesting
my
one.
My photo, thanks for that, Matt, was... it was going to be that. No, it's going to be something else. So this is a photo. So behind the scenes a little bit, we will go into it later. We started a little project around a green ring. And I actually was the person that took a picture of this green ring that was seen now, has been seen about 35 million times. So Whoa. The raw picture of this image is this that people might have seen that's on my camera roll that was from 12 months ago. So that is it.
Oh, wow.
So basically that little green ring there is...
And that was taken this time last year. And we're going to explain what that is later in the podcast. You have to stay listening to find out what that little green ring is. But tell us who you guys are and what you do at Thursday. For someone who's never heard of Thursday before, give us the lowdown.
So I'm George, firstly, and I'm co-founder at Thursday. Thursday is a dating app that works one day of the week. Where we also throw events. So it's kind of this hybrid between the two. The app is only on for 24 hours a week and you can match, chat and meet that same day. So the idea is to speed up the dating process, make it a little bit more exciting. But also we've really focused on events where we get people to events in real life.
So you're basically hiring out a bar.
That's right. And it's not just bars. So sometimes it's predominantly bars, but we're expanding into sort of experience.
So you're hiring out a venue and every single person in that venue is
correct.
Single.
Yeah.
That's and it, really so it's cool. Anything from, started with bars, but it's bars, museums, gym classes, cooking classes, running clubs.
Games nights.
Like anything where people have an interest or could basically our thesis is put singles together in an environment where they've got a mutual interest and then they're likely to connect more. So we're connecting, if you like, there's dating apps for dog lovers, for vegans, et cetera, et cetera. We're doing exactly that, but in real life and putting it in and doing it on a weekly basis because we think dating apps are pretty fucking dull. Boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're going to dive into that later in the episode. Where are your events right now?
So Harry, do you want to answer this? Where are we based?
Yeah, we are based...
So started in London.
Started in London and we were... I look after kind of the partnership side, but I started on the event side and we started in London with one event a week and we're now dominating kind of London, but also we're going international. So we're kind of in 12 major cities in the US and in Canada as well.
Australia.
And Australia. So we're kind of...
So really taking over
It's been
loads of different
places. It's been in the last 4 months we've managed to get some scale on the events. It's just started in London. It's always the one thing about in real life events is it's getting it to the other cities, which is the challenge. We're now people are hearing about us all around the world. It's quite exciting.
Which is mad.
It was only last week we were in Toronto going to our event there, which was pretty cool.
And are they different? Like, are people dating differently? Like, do they go about it very different in different countries? Like, what's the vibe?
I think in America and Canada, and probably everywhere but the UK, they are much more open to this sort of in real life approach to putting themselves out there. Sometimes, and this is not to sort of slag off Brits, but we can be a little bit closed and our game probably isn't as good because we know that this bar concept of going into a venue and everyone's single is new to people and it's daunting. It's kind of daunting at first and you kind of got to get over that challenge of like everyone's in the same boat here.
It requires people to be good conversationalists and being able to actually engage with individuals as opposed to what is now pretty much a generation that have come through of just keyboard warriors. And that there's a famous saying that, you know, the millennials and the Gen Z generations coming through have lost the art of communication. I think that's probably quite fair. Mm. People aren't very good at talking or networking or chatting, but they're very good at tapping away on a keyboard and, looking at Instagram, TikTok and WhatsApp and whatever at the same time. And I think we're bringing back the old school. And actually, if you look at all the current songs, all the current films, TV series, everything, none of them are writing a song about how they swiped on a dating app. So it's all about how they met on the tube or it was their high school lover or Taylor Swift springs to mind. But it's like, it is that kind of thing. No one romanticizes meeting on an app and it's not to belittle that because it's really important.
I think
it's the in real life thing is what people are after.
I think for the last 10 years, the app's a bit over now, the apps have been around. There's been a reliance where that's our fallback, where, you know, you put yourself outside your comfort zone in a bar and if you could go home and just sit on the sofa and swipe. And that's kind of what everyone's safety net is at home because the apps are so prolific. We're not here to slag them off. They are great and they serve a purpose. And there's been, you know, lots of success stories of people meeting on apps. And we still have got obviously an app feature of the one day a week thing. But I think this whole approach of the in real life is kind of where the magic is.
Why do you think people are apprehensive to approach people in real life?
Well, Tinder solved... What they solved was the fear of rejection. So the match of mutual two people. I think it's rejection, personally. What do you think?
Yeah, I also think it's confidence, right? Mm. You need confidence to talk to someone, and especially when going to our events, some people come on their own. And I really salute those people that do go on their own because it takes a lot. Like, especially, like, I'm just thinking, like, some of the events, people, it's so daunting and intimidating. And I think you do get those people, those guys, those girls that will come, they'll talk to people, but you do get people that actually are kind of in the sidelines. And I think what we're also trying to tackle as well is making that experience the great for everyone. So how can we kind of help them with communicating to other people? Mm. And
I think also if we're all in relationships, and I think my girlfriend would very openly say that she would not have swiped right on me on a dating app. She's ruthless. But I think that actually sets quite an interesting narrative, which is, you are so different to what 5 heavily filtered profile pictures of you are.
Yeah.
And people are way more engaging, way more interesting in real life than they could ever be on some screen. Mm-hmm. And I think what we do through Thursday is allow people who don't have the best experience on dating apps an opportunity to have that in real life moment and have that in, like, connection. You know, there's, I think, top 10% of people on a dating app, whatever you deem top 10% are, have a great experience. The 90% have a shocking experience. They don't get matches. They spend a fortune boosting and getting likes, but it doesn't go anywhere. Mm. And so I think we're trying to put everyone in the same room on a level playing field. And that is pretty cool. Mm.
You describe yourselves as an anti-dating app.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although we are a dating app.
We are a dating app.
But we're trying to have a real identity crisis, aren't we? Are we a dating app? Are we events?
Like, yeah.
I think we've solved the identity crisis. Yeah.
We're just trying to get everyone to kind of meet, I guess, IRL and in real life. I think that's what everyone wants. You know, all the terminology you use against dating apps, majority of the time it's negative. You know, in TV, films, theatre, it's always like, oh, or even with your friends, oh, I don't want to go back on the app. So how can we kind of use the tool we've got to kind of turn that around? Okay, let's do it in real life.
Our tagline a few months ago was "fuck dating apps 6 days a week." So it was like we were allowed that we like them one day. That's fine. Yeah.
So the app literally switches on a Thursday, and
it's not a great experience on the other days of the week. It basically tells you to go away. It's
really?
Not nice. It's,
yeah, surely that was a weird thing to have to like grow and promote, like when you're basically telling people to fuck off.
Yeah, like. it's not great. No, we because of course with the events you can buy tickets and everything.
Yeah,
to the events on other days, but other than that, there's a countdown to the Thursday coming, and you basically opt yourself in to that coming Thursday, and then it'll be included into the matching that happens. Mm-hmm. Mm.
This is the first time you're tuning into the Talk 20s podcast. Allow us to introduce you to our headline sponsors, Zopa Bank, home of the Smart Saver account. If you're a long-term fan of the podcast, you'll already know about Zopa's Smart Saver, which lets you save into personalized pots and boost your savings in exchange for a notice period to access your funds. The longest notice period is 95 days and offers the highest interest rates. To find out more about Zopa's Smart Saver, download the Zopa app. We need to tell you that you need to save a minimum of £1 and the interest is paid monthly and is subject to variation. On with the show. Has there been any success stories to date? Because you've been going for quite some time now.
Yeah. 2 years. Is it about 2.5 years?
About two and a half.
Yeah. May 21, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm in a relationship from it.
How did you meet? What did you meet in an event?
No, we met through LinkedIn, actually.
Okay.
So this is George Rawlings, he owns LinkedIn.
No, we were working with a company that she worked at that company. So it was kind of like a through Thursday.
That's technically through really. Your job, but that's not through the app.
Guys, that doesn't count.
Are you counting that as a success story?
We've had so much better success stories than that one.
Yeah, she was...
We've had a wedding, which we recently featured.
Yes.
Two weddings.
Yep.
Two weddings from
two
the
weddings.
App.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That we know of.
There's been way more
any
than
babies,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, any babies? Yeah. Any Thursday babies?
My best friend, Scott... He's a good friend. He's my best friend. He's a good friend of mine. He actually lives in Australia now. He's married. Well, he's engaged. And he's had twins. So,
twins.
Yes.
And they met on Thursday.
They met at a Thursday event.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, that's been
amazing.
There's been a lot.
Loads.
It's a funny one with the success stories because you never really know how many dates you create or how many heartbreaks you've created or children planned or unplanned. Like, you never really know.
You know how many you've got.
But I think... we did some data stuff last year and we worked out that roughly about 5% of our matches result in a date that day, which is quite interesting. So I think we've had tens of thousands of dates happen as a result of Thursday. And it's very hard to tell on the events.
Yes,
you've done over 2,500 of them. Yeah.
Yes.
2,500 events you've done?
2,500 with over 100,000 people attending.
A bit more.
150,000 people have gone.
Yeah, mad.
That is
And about 120,000 have been London. So now, obviously, now we're getting out of London.
Everywhere else.
Yeah.
Wow. So for those people that are tuning in because they are interested in like the dating side of things, mm-hmm. as people who see it day in, day out, you witness so many of the first meetings of people at all of your events. What are the major red flags that you should look out for that someone you should not date?
Oh, it's a tough question. I think you get a lot of people who would just go to these events and expect just people to come approach them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's some people that will go sit at, if you go to the bar and just sit there with a pint, expect people to come over to talk to you. It doesn't work that way. So I'd say not being open and friendly and welcoming to people is a bit of a red flag.
Yeah, and not being willing to open to talk to. It's not all about dating, right? It's not all you know, finding the love of your life. We're also about kind of building a community and getting everyone kind of together and just having a good time at our events. So, you know, talking to people, you may not be there on a romantic level, but still be open to talk to people because it could be a friend or a connection. And I think a red flag for me would be like those people that are in the corner, oh, I'm not talking to them, or not talking to them. And it's like, I'm like, come on.
Yeah,
basically
like,
exactly the same
looks.
As George's point.
Is that I explained it better.
Yeah. I feel like, both two separate points, I feel like. I think one of the things is that a lot of people will judge people based off their looks. Like Matt, you just said it, like people will swipe or write on, they're much way more brutal on the apps.
Yeah.
But I also think people are really brutal in person, actually. I do think like when I'm around my single friends, they will definitely judge people on their looks before anything. And I'm like, but you don't know what that person's like.
Yeah. I think interestingly, you do experience a bit. I would say, in my experience of the Thursday events, men are less confident than the female in general. And I think the female are more brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're the first to be like, oh, everyone in here is not for me. It's like, well, it depends what your take on is, but they might say the same about you. Mm-hmm. Like it can be, people I think are very judgy. And that's why I actually quite like the events because people do have that attitude there, but if you express it, you actually are the one that looks bad. Like you're the bad egg that these guys were just disclosed. Like,
yeah.
I think also people getting too drunk as well. You know, it's, even though they revolve around bars, but I think drinking and becoming too pissed, you look like a bit of an idiot.
Mm-hmm. And that's why as well we do like, you know, the experience of the running clubs and all different types of things. Because, you know, drinking's not for everyone either.
Yeah.
So we do love a drink.
Actually, I mean, like more and more Gen Z like are choosing not to date. Like a lot of people are saying that the first date that they want to go on is actually like a walk with someone. Yeah. And that's really common that people
difficult
are saying.
Difficult to monetize.
For you guys, for everyone else, it's a lot cheaper than going to like fancy restaurant and stuff like that.
True. Yeah, focusing on stuff which it is more of an experience, but like an icebreaker between people, because we were just talking earlier about it being awkward for people to go up to each other. When you do the experience at events, you're actually bonding over doing something which...
We're currently setting up a Thursday run club at the moment. So these run clubs, they say, are becoming the new dating app. So we're like, oh, we need to jump on that. I think the big run club in London to begin with, and then, try and roll that out.
So how does it typically work then? The event goes live in your apps, people book tickets, they rock up, and it's a room full of single people. Mm-hmm. Anything else that I missed?
Yes, we send a series of push notifications to help with icebreakers. So it's like little challenges that go on probably two or three times a night. Things like, go talk to someone you haven't spoken to. There's some other, what's the slightly more rogue stuff?
You've come up with some weird ones before.
And it hasn't really worked out that well. Sing happy birthday to Annabelle or something. Yeah. Like everyone starts singing happy birthday and everyone's like, what is going on?
They've not looked at their phones.
Oh, that particularly didn't work well in the cellar bars where there's no signal.
Yeah.
Someone went outside for a cigarette, got a signal, came back, happy birthday.
And you've also done something really different, which I actually didn't realize was you guys until recently. Mm-hmm. So actually you alluded to it in your photo from last year. So tell us all about this because I think it's really cool.
Yeah, so it was about a year ago, year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Me and Matt over a pointless pint came up with this crazy idea to try and, it wasn't cannibalizing our own app, but if we could almost bypass the app, how do you know who's single out in the world in terms of like just in public? And we thought, well, why don't we try and make and invent a green ring that people would wear to signal that they are single and open to meeting new people in real life. Mm-hmm. So we manufactured and produced millions of these little rubber rings that were not very nice looking, but they did were fit for purpose.
Yeah, they were. And logo on them.
Basically, yeah, called Pear, and we created marketed it as the world's biggest social experiment, mm-hmm. and we've had hundreds of thousands of people all around the world participate in this project where we're trying to get people off dating apps, and we've seen some success with it. We kind of invented it, not really expecting it to kind of work. And it was one of those things. It was more of an activation to try and help us get more downloads to our app. But it actually turned out to be do really well.
I think the problem with it, the great side of it is there is an appetite for it.
Yep.
I think the problem with it is it's before its time.
Yeah.
And which is weird because it's non-tech. It's totally non-tech. Mm-hmm. It's just a symbol to show that you're single.
Yeah.
And I think for it to really work, you need millions of people to wear it in one city.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or maybe not millions, but hundreds of thousands in one city. It needs to be concentrated.
We had a scatter of it.
It was a real scatter approach. And it showed that, I think, to two things really. One, people really are desperate for the in real life experience, mm-hmm. and their meet cute moment. And two, that people are really willing to try anything to meet someone. And that's, I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. Mm. I think people there's this real desire to find their fellow person. And dating apps aren't doing it for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of reinforced what we're doing with our main mission with Thursday, which is getting singles in real life, face-to-face as quickly as possible, and then let them deal with it. Yeah. And like have the conversation, have the rejection, mm-hmm. have the one-night stand, have the couple of dates and it all goes wrong or whatever it is, but put them in a room where they can have that experience as opposed to having it all played out on an app. Where you're sort of, hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm great. How are you? Two weeks later.
The name came from pairing people in public. So obviously mm-hmm. the pairing, and that's kind of where it stemmed from. But it was fun, and you know, it linked it.
But it's not spelled like pear. Like P-E-A-R. You are a pear. Like,
it's spelled like the fruit.
Yeah. Which is really cool.
And we had the little degree sign in the top right, which is pretty cool.
It also assisted as well with kind of this.
Sorry, I just turned on my flash.
With face.
Taking a picture.
Sorry, I'm flashing.
Not again.
Oh, God. For anyone not watching on YouTube, George is not taking his clothes off.
You wouldn't want to see that.
It also kind of assisted, I guess, with the events now going into America, because a lot of the people that were in America and in these other cities had the ring. So then we can put them to the events, kind of the Thursday events that are happening.
You know what's absolutely crazy is I didn't know it was you guys that had done that. I obviously knew of Thursday. I'd seen you guys massive on LinkedIn and stuff at the time. And my best friend, she's a lawyer, so she doesn't do anything on socials. Mm. Like maybe you'd pushed out an ad to her, I don't know, but she'd come across you and she sent me your website and she was like, this is amazing. Oh. And I looked on it, I was like, that's actually really cool. And it did remind me of you guys, but I didn't think it was you guys.
That, like
it was the fonts.
Maybe the tone of voice.
Fonts and the tone of voice. And I was like, okay. I was like, that's really cool. And she said to me, she was like, I really want one, but she said, I'm only going to get one once I see one person wearing it in the wild, essentially. Mm-hmm. She was like, then I'm going to get one. Oh, yeah.
And then
not my
let me guess, didn't see anyone in the wild and now haven't
She didn't see anyone in the wild and then it didn't happen. Yeah. But then I was like, and then I realized you guys, I was like, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. And I actually think it's really, really cool because like all three of you are in relationships, but right now, like how would we know if you were or if you were single?
Yeah.
Because I mean, I've got an engagement ring, but until that point, you know, I've been in a relationship for 10 years and there was, you could look at me, you would never know if I was single. So would you approach someone? Do you know if they're single? And I think a lot of people are scared of that.
Mm-hmm. They are. Also, the ramifications in society today of approaching someone and assuming they're single are massive. People are too scared to do it.
Yeah.
For a wide number of reasons that probably won't need to dive into, but it's the apprehension and the risk of assuming someone's gender, sexuality, single status now is heightened more now than it's ever been before.
Yeah.
And so people don't do it.
Yeah.
And then people don't get their meet cute moment in a bar and they're like, wait, hang on, why am I not being approached in a bar? Like, what the hell?
I think people are nervous as well because I've got a really amazing friend. She's one of my bridesmaids and she's been on the podcast before called Laura Ann Moore. Mm. And she will, she has a close friend story on her Instagram, but she's got quite a big profile anyway. And she will say that she is going to reach out to someone. So she's on a tube and she'll put like, I'm going to give someone my number, or she's in an airport and she really fancies someone. So she gives someone their number and she will tell people like the outcome of like what happens, like what happens to airport boy or what happens to tube boy and stuff like that. And it's really cool that she puts it out there. And like, that they might be in a relationship, yeah, or someone has texted her once and said, I'm really sorry, like I'm in a relationship and stuff like that.
So how does
that.
She give the number? Does she just hand
she just
her
like writes it
just
down. She's so ballsy, but people think it's people think it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, it is amazing, but like, it's crazy that less of us don't feel as confident to do that. But she is inspiring people by doing that anyway. But a lot of people would feel more comfortable if they knew they could walk into a room and like guarantee people are single.
Yeah. And I think also, I think it's phones and like social media. That is essentially why people, and it's cliche to say, but high behind that because they're too scared to go out to people. I mean, I wouldn't, if I was single, would randomly walk up to someone in the street that I fancied.
Our rep in Toronto, Uzi, was saying exactly this. We were there last week for our events there, and he was saying exactly that. He, an Australian guy who lives in Toronto, and he was like, I just love going up to girls. And not in like a weird way. He's like, I just love being like, hey, how you doing? I'm Uzi. Like, chat, like, are you single? Let's go on a date or whatever. And he's like, the amount of rejections, like, no, thanks, I'm not, I'm in a relationship, et cetera, et cetera, he gets. He's like, it doesn't matter because the one time or two times or three times it works that week. He's like, it's amazing. And the in his case, the females that he's approaching en masse, because he's a very friendly, nice guy, are so flattered, like, wow, fucking hell, that was ballsy. That takes guts.
They say vulnerability is attractive.
Yeah. And confidence is sexy.
Yeah.
If I'm going up
to someone. Yeah, he vows by it, but it takes guts.
It does. Yeah.
So this podcast is anything. It's just to encourage people to kind of just, you see someone you fancy, just do it.
Just do it in a respectful, nice way.
Yeah.
If you get rejected, that's also okay.
Yeah. Right. How do you do it in a nice way then? Go on. Each of you, tell me what you would say if you were going up to speak to someone. You see someone you like in a bar. What would you go up and say?
Oh, God, that's a really difficult question.
Put you on the spot.
I think I would just start with an open conversation, then go into flirting. I think that's, I mean, that would be my tactic.
Yeah, something like,
hey, what do you do for a job? And then go into like, you got lovely eyes.
I think to
bring up the missed opportunities, because like, hey, I'm really sorry, I just had to stop you because I thought you were, you know, I'll regret it if I didn't say hello. It's always a good one.
Like that one.
I think always asking for their name, similar to George, but always saying, I'm really sorry, but I have to know your name.
Oh, that's a little bit threatening.
Why?
It's quite endearing.
I need to know your name.
I can't stalk Sarah on Instagram.
What's your email address? What's your phone number?
What's your name? Where are you from?
And then on the opposite side, it makes that person feel it would enlighten their day by someone coming up to them.
Yeah.
They're not even interested.
Also, you should never ask for their number. You should always say, can I give you my number? It's a little
you
bit
sound
too...
like a bit of a veteran.
We're not
going
to go into that.
You've done this a lot.
No.
So Thursday is a startup then. Yeah. Like there are now just three of you in the UK?
Six of us developers. But we've got more sort of offshore teams now. So developers included.
Reps and in different cities who are helping you grow this across the world, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how has the process been from right now to where you are at now? Because you've been on quite a journey. I know you said you're now doubling down on the event side of things, but you started off as a completely a different app altogether, didn't you, called Honeypot. Can you give us a bit of the behind the scenes of like that side of things?
So Honeypot started off quite simply as an Instagram feed that would show you an Instagram story of where the honeypot was happening. It was a bit like an event.
Terrible branding.
Yeah, terrible name, terrible branding. So you'd basically see the honeypot was happening.
So is that where all the honeys are? What was the name?
Well, it was more like the...
The little purple bear that
I don't really know why it was called Honeypot. I think it was to do with like the beehive of Bumble, and then people go to the honeypot who are using Bumble.
Right.
It's a shit name.
Okay.
And the honeypot was happening between 8 and 10 at the Albion. Go here between that time and you'll be surrounded by other singles. We didn't hire out the bar. It wasn't a ticketed event.
You just sent people there. Yeah. Did people go?
Yes and no. I would say a few people did go. But
I mean, we were there.
it didn't work. It was very hard to know who was there because of Honeypot, and we realised actually this is a bit of a flawed idea.
Yeah.
And it kind of changed to an app. Then, you know, it was all about same day dating. It was on 7 days of the week, still called Honeypot, where you'd check into an area and see who was available that day for a date. We struggled with users. Yep. We saw a bit of a spike in users on a certain day.
We got 30,000 users on Honeypot. So it was a good starting point. But in a dating app world or a marketplace model, 30,000 users is just unfortunately nothing.
It's not
enough. When you're just culling people 24/7.
Yeah.
And people on dating apps do.
Yeah.
And so I think it was enough. But anyway,
we decided actually to limit it to one day of the week. It was just before we went into lockdown, and our investors thought we were absolutely crazy. So did everyone else. They were like, this is just a mental idea to have an app that works 24 hours. It's just terrible. We decided it was the only way that was really going to sustain this whole thing. And let's build a brand out of the day of the week, make it sort of International Singles Day. People get excited for that one day a week thing. And if we can concentrate all the users to using it on one day of the week and the potential of throwing events, which is kind of, we were floating the idea in lockdown. We were more a dating app at that time. It would work really well. And we kind of haven't really looked back since, actually. I think it's much stronger offering and it makes sense.
I think also the world doesn't need another dating app. Like, genuinely believe that I can envisage a future of Thursday where there probably isn't a matching site.
Yeah. Like, or maybe not even an app.
Like, I think the world just, there's enough who do it very, very well. Hinge, unbelievable what they what they do with their matching. Bumble, you know, female empowerment. Tinder.
But they're, what Tinder good for?
They start, well, they're just massive, and they're the first to do it.
Yeah.
But I think there's loads of dating apps to come out, and good luck to anyone trying to start one in their niche or try and go whatever it is they're doing. Like, really, best of luck. I think from our perspective, we've seen the real human side of the in real life events, and the reason why big companies, the big apps, sort of veer away from it. They dip their toe in it, but sort of veer away from it, or ironically are now coming back to it. It's because it's very hard to scale. Yeah. And it's very hard to scale in terms of dating app scale, which is global, hundreds of millions of users type vibe. We realize we don't need to be that company. We can be a smaller company, but be just as important, just as used. Without having to reach the 100 million users, we can do a lot of damage with 10 million users in cities all around the world and give people a really cool experience and actually then fit into the marketplace. It's as solving something that's not been solved, as opposed to trying to compete against people who are 10 years ahead of you and got a few more billion in the bank.
I think also a year ago, we were very much perceived as just a dating app, and we realized we found our identity now. We throw singles events, whatever that may be, bars, experiences. And that's kind of what we do. And we've got to double down on that. As Matt said, there's no point in trying to do what the others do on one day of the week. It's just not a big enough market.
And it's what our members love. Members love the events. People love the IRL.
And to date, how many members have you got? Like, because I always think it's a really nice moment in time, because you can obviously look back at the podcast in 5 years' time and be like, oh, do you remember we did that and we had this many users? Yeah. So like at this moment today,
we've had 1.5 million downloads.
Wow.
But in terms of active, probably
200.
About 200 now. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
But it's obviously massively, we've got starting to get that hockey stick growth now, because the rest of world is the market, is the opportunity. Yeah. We've been tied to London. And I think, you know, as
and the rest of the UK. Like the rest of the UK, we'd like you to stay here, guys. Come on.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. We're just going to, it's like saying earlier, it's so exciting because there's people in those other cities that haven't experienced Thursday yet.
Yeah.
And when we first started, like the real, when I first started, the real excitement I had was over this new cool idea, this really fresh concept. And I can't wait now to go and do that, you know, in LA, in San Diego, in these other cities where they don't know who the fuck we are at the moment, and then launch there with it. And it's just, you start that train again as you add new cities. So it's a really exciting time.
It's also worked, just speaking of the launching these cities that we're in now, because we've looked at it in a very different way. We've got these city reps that are basically flying the flag of the Thursday flag in their city.
Mm-hmm. And they're carefully chosen.
And they do, We like when we launched Thursday, it was a simultaneous launch in London, New York, and we started to run events in New York. But we were just randomly sort of picking places. We didn't know the city at all.
Google, where's cool to go? No,
that was literally what I was doing, was Googling what's a good bar in New York.
And now...
Hard Rock Cafe.
We actually do.
We did the Hard Rock Cafe.
It's only tourists.
In Times Square.
You live in there.
Now we've got these sort of, it's an extension of our team where they're finding the venue, sort of figuring out the deals with the venues, shouting about it, helping us sell tickets there. So it's definitely a better way to scale it rather than just us
thinking, looking on Google.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And you guys are big, you're quite well known for your marketing. You've done quite a lot over the years. Give us, for those people who are, you know, a lot of people might work in marketing and might be really inspired by you guys, what's the thinking behind some of your craziest marketing things that you've done?
it was all...
We didn't have any money.
We didn't have any money. It was out of desperation to get people on this damn app.
We raised money and we then, it's like you can have build the most amazing product, but if you can't get people on it, so what?
Yeah.
And I think we generally, it was out of desperation and how far, in the early, very early stages, how far and how shameless we were prepared to go in terms of...
And that was quite shameless.
Wearing cardboard signs, wandering around London, getting spat at, doing controversial messages that weren't actually that... They weren't controversial in the sense that... were very offensive, but it was more controversial in the sense that we're talking about cheating.
Yes,
we're talking
exactly.
about a boss having an affair, like stuff that's very relatable, but people just didn't talk about. We're talking about sex.
That was Harry cracking open the Riviera iced tea.
Yeah, it was Harry.
What do you think?
Peachy.
Can you tell he used to be an actor?
If you want to know what we're drinking here in the Talk 20 studio, then let me tell you, because you're going to want to try it. Riviera Iced Tea is the newest sponsor of the Talk 20s podcast. It's low calorie, natural, vegan, and gluten free. I'm absolutely obsessed with iced tea. I've just been laughing here about how obsessed I am with iced tea with our producer. It's my favorite drink in the whole wide world, no exaggeration. And the peach iced tea from Riviera is genuinely the best I've ever tasted. So if you want to fill your fridge with something super refreshing, head to RivieraIcedTea.com or check out their Instagram at RivieraIcedTea.
I don't know.
No, the peach is my favourite, actually. Gotta give it to you.
I think also, you know, we, with the some of the stuff we were doing on the marketing, we were doing what the others weren't doing. They were making glossy, polished, high budget ads, and we were going, no, we'll write on some cardboard, put some paint, black paint on it, and hold up a crazy sign. And when we think of cardboard, everyone probably thinks, oh, Dube Sign, you know, came up with that. We were 2 months before Dube Sign.
I'm trying to make that very clear. You didn't tell me that timelines.
Yeah, I made it very clear. But we, you know, and we just always wrote crazy messages on it to get people to snap a picture of the sign. We've done whiteboards, we've done cardboard signs, we've done camels, lots of stuff. It's not necessarily the stunt in that piece of guerrilla marketing that does very well in real life. It's more that people snapping it and people taking picture of it then become our influencers in a strange way. And it goes on social media and there's lots of hidden messages linking it back to us. So for example, we actually recreated one, I think, a few weeks ago for Harry.
Last week.
In Toronto, where, what did the whiteboard say?
It said, to my cheating ex-boyfriend, Harry.Sav. The Instagram handle. Yeah. Don't bother coming home tonight because I saw you at the weekend with that girl.
On Instagram.
P.S. You're deluded if you think Thursday is better than Hinge.
Yeah.
And we just left it. It was
a whiteboard.
Yeah, a whiteboard. It said that. And obviously, like I was saying earlier, these cities don't know us yet. So we went out there, we put it by Union Street Station, which is kind of like the equivalent to your Liverpool Lime Street or Euston. Put it out there and we just left it there, thinking someone's going to take it away. And it stayed there. And then people just came and snapped and snapped.
And then stalked.
And then I just had these inbounds of requests because then I had a message on my Instagram, a post that just said, allow me to explain. Basically,
I saw that. Yeah. Like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah, so now all my followers in the UK didn't really get it, but I didn't want, it wasn't for them. Yeah. It was for these other people. And then I was like, allow me to explain, got a state night called Thursday, we run events, like have no like marketing budget. This is why I did it. And people were like, wow, genius marketing. And it just got all this traction. Then it got picked up by like a viral like meme page in Toronto. Yeah. And it got picked up by a radio station. It got picked up.
You were live on radio for five minutes.
Yeah, I was live on radio for five minutes in Toronto International.
Wow.
But no, it did exactly what it wanted to do. And it didn't, you know, it wasn't to attack anyone kind of in, we didn't want our London cities kind of know about it. It was just Toronto we wanted to do. So I think it worked so well. And then people were talking about it. And we went to the event that evening. Two guys came up to me, you're the cheater that was on the whiteboard. And I was like, first of all, don't have a girlfriend, I'm gay. Second of all, I've got a boyfriend. But
you didn't read the post, did you?
And who comes up with these ideas?
We all do, really. Yeah, we all just think of how far can we push it without getting in trouble? Sometimes we do get in trouble. We've been in trouble a few times, of course.
Let's talk a little bit about that because like sometimes we get stuff wrong in life. And there's been times when you guys have, you know, something's not gone the way you thought it might go. Mm-hmm. How do you handle those situations?
I think one time we got something wrong talk about the camel. Yeah, we got that.
It's my favourite stunt.
The camel in the room.
It's still your favourite stunt.
The reason being because no one likes to hear the actual narrative around it, which is the camel itself was in London anyway from a TV set that was filming for Top Gear and another film. Mm. And the reason that we paid a lot of money for that camel and that money goes towards paying for the camel sanctuary and the donkey sanctuary in Rock. But no one likes to hear the good bit of a story. They only like to attack what they see.
So what did they think they were seeing?
They thought they saw a camel being brought to advertise a dating app. Actually, it happened to be in London.
It said Happy Hump Day.
And it had Happy Hump Day on it.
So it was a camel.
Okay.
So walked through to Liverpool Street Station.
But people just don't like to know the actual truth.
And the owners were like, they had the sanctuary and they were, I don't know why, but it didn't go really, I don't think it go through my head before we did it, there could be a bad kind of press kind of from it. It was very Marmite. Either people really loved loved it, or they were like, absolutely hated it. And it was more kind of they didn't know the story behind it, and it was animal kind of activists, and we lost an event through it.
Yeah,
the puppy event.
A puppy yoga event used puppies to sell yoga.
So their puppy yoga event reached out, gave me this email, and
They also got in touch recently to try and do another event. They came back in touch with us like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. They made this massive email about how bad it was for us and like going into the safety of the camel. And I was like, but if only you knew. And then I just put them in touch with the Camel Sanctuary, the person that is actually...
The charity
that's running it. It was controversial. Yeah.
TikTok was full of camel experts that day as opposed to the actual camel experts.
Yeah.
I think we've always had the 80-20 rule where you either love or hate what we do. And I think if we can get 80% to love our marketing and our brand of what we do, and if 20% hate it, that's fine. Better than being 100% indifferent to everyone. People don't know who we are. Yeah. So we kind of take that approach where it is a little bit gritty and sometimes we don't always get it right, but it is what it is.
When you do get it a little bit wrong, just hold your hands up and be like, got that wrong.
I'll tell you, when we did get it wrong, we sent a push notification out.
Yep.
For people who were on our app saying, you're not a Thursday event tonight, enjoy sleeping alone. It was just so... It's not great.
I think when it was spoken about, it just sounded not good. We didn't think.
And we hold up...
The purpose of the push, for context, was
to drag people
to try and get people to say, go to one of our events.
Yeah.
But of course, it didn't land that way, even remotely.
So when it does go right, tell me about your best marketing things that you've done.
I think we did a great partnership with Home Exchange where we recreated the holiday. Mm-hmm. So we found someone from London. We put out a post saying, looking for two singles to swap houses at Christmas. And it got loads of engagements on the social media post, on Instagram, people tagging each other. And then Home Exchange came to us saying, hey, I've just seen your post. Do you want to do a partnership? And we basically, two people, one from London and one from New York, two girls, created their listings and swapped houses, and then we landed them with Thursday dates when they got to the respective cities.
That's so cute.
It's such a cool video. Really, and I think that's like probably the most wholesome, best bit of content we've done. Just amazing.
A brilliant one Harry was very involved with, so I'll let him explain it. The clean cocktail one.
Oh, so good.
The non-alcoholic one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was basically a non-alcoholic cocktail. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we wanted to do a social experiment, so we tied at a bar and we basically didn't tell anyone that we said free drinks all night. And obviously, everyone's like, free drinks, buy a ticket. We didn't tell anyone there was no alcohol in the drinks. And then we did a video, an experiment around how people would act drunker even though they were drinking non-alcoholic drinks, and they did, and we would video their reactions. And then as they left the venue,
like, oh, I'm steaming.
We just get another drink. And as they left the venue, we'd interview them kind of along the lines of how the drinks, and people were like, yeah, so good. And then we'd tell them there was no alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And they were like,
sobered them up immediately, but like, so it was bizarre.
That's crazy. Was anyone suspicious?
A few people asked for it.
There were a few.
I've been drinking juice all night.
And they were quite sugary after a while.
Yeah. They were. I desperately wanted a pint at that event. But I think we actually went to the pub
we left halfway through after filming and went to get a drink. Yeah,
I have actually been to a sober event before and then left and gone and got a glass of wine from somewhere else.
I think they're great if that's what you're expecting. If you're on a Thursday night and you just really fancy a pint or a gin and tonic, and
I was just saying 15 minutes ago about just not drinking too much at the Thursday events.
Yeah.
You mentioned quite a few times pointless pints. What is that?
What's a pointless pint? It's where all the best ideas come from. I don't know why. Me and Matt and Harry sometimes get involved in the pointless pint. It's like a meeting we have where...
In the pub.
Yep.
Normally after work. Sometimes not. And we'll just smash out ideas and just talk things through and come up with the crazy shit.
no idea is a bad idea,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
No. And we literally just go round and round and be like, and quite often we'd be like, this is our idea. We'll go round, talk about it for a few hours.
And then we'll do a full circle.
We'll first and be like, yeah, I told you it was great. Brilliant. Yeah. Let's do that. We didn't need any.
Because essentially you're like sense checking it. Yes, you're exactly. like doing all the different things. Or how can it go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
how can you, oh no, that won't work because of this. Mm-hmm. Like, sounds like a great, I want to join the Pointless Fights. Maybe we'll go food after. Maybe we'll do the Pointless Fights. So I'd love to chat to you guys. We always ask people about their biggest adulting failures. Something that you've done that you feel like you completely messed up on, or it could be a funny story now. It could be looking back and you're like, oh, that really needed to happen. But does any of you have something in particular that you think, oh my God, that was a big adulting fail? Thanks for listening to the Talk 20s podcast. If you're still listening, here's a little reminder about our pay partner, BetterHelp. We know that your 20s can sometimes be tough and it's hard to find good therapists to talk to. If this is something you're struggling with too, why not check out BetterHelp? As a thank you for listening, we have a special link that gets you 10% off your first month. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s.
Not like, it's not huge, but something maybe I should have not have done. Say I can do something if I couldn't do it.
I think I might know where this is going.
When I first started Thursday, it wasn't saying I couldn't do it. I just said, yes, I should have just said, oh, I don't know how to do that. When I first started Thursday, Matt, we obviously were the events hadn't launched yet, and I was the events lead, and we needed to create like a spreadsheet with all the data of like where ticket sales would go, bar, commission. I made out that I could make that spreadsheet. If, in all honesty, I didn't know how to make that spreadsheet. And I don't, it's now looking back, it's funny, but I made probably just a really pretty table.
With a calculator.
Like, but the thing is, the reason is because I said yes, because I want to show willingness to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, now I can make spreadsheets because I've learned along the way.
There were times when this was going on that George and I were looking at it and be like, why is he printing everything out in a Polly Pocket folder with numbers that change every week? We're like, what's going on? But we didn't dare question it because he was smashing the events.
Your calendar was printed out for the weekly events.
I know, that was my dyslexic mind. I had to see it, like where it is. I mean, now it's all on my computer, but if you look at my desktop, it's how. But I know it's organised how.
But also, there was a moment on this where it only came to light very recently, where Harry was saying, he deals with a lot of numbers that come in and out from lots of events, commission, ticket sales of various age groups, genders, how much money we make, who we owe what to. Like lots of money comes in and out through Harry. And he did it very well. It's very calm.
But it was how long did this go on for?
It was
for?
Only like about, I think 6 months ago, I heard him say to someone, he was like, yeah, but I still haven't told them. He's like, I've got like a D in GCSE maths.
Yeah, I did. I've always lied on my CV about my maths.
Really?
Always. So
you're good at it now.
Yeah.
You were doing the invoicing and I remember you saying, what's VAT?
At the beginning. Do I add that item on? I'm now.
Is that how he sounds, is it?
No. Like, now I could be an accountant, really.
Is that how I sound?
No, yeah, I did. I lied on my CV. I was always, maths was always never a strong point for me. I've never been great academic.
Yeah.
And it was always, I would say a bit of insecurity. So I thought all the jobs I've had since I've kind of left school, I've always put, okay, I got a C in maths. I didn't, I got an E.
That's even worse than a D.
Yeah, I got an E. But, and to this
E's
day.
Excellent.
But now look, guys, to this day, who runs all the money kind of going in and out with kind of big,
yeah,
I do it.
Yeah,
so
you do.
There's nothing, and there's nothing ever missing.
No, there isn't.
Even there's a penny, I'm after it.
Because it's on his printed out spreadsheet.
But yeah, that would be, yeah.
I love that. And the other thing we also talk about in the podcast is that like none of us are the finished product. So like we're all trying to get better at everything, you know, or something in our lives. What is it for you guys right now? It could be to do with business or it could be something personal that you're like, I really need to improve this area of my life because I know I'm not the best at it.
Ooh, I think a few years ago, I was always chasing like the next chapter in my life, like thinking, okay, you know, the girlfriend, the house, the marriage. And I think everything is not fallen into place completely, but it's just chasing the next thing. But I think to enjoy, the moment of not sort of chasing that next thing.
I think we're all guilty of that in our 20s, right? Because everyone's like, oh, I want to earn more money. I want to get the better job. Mm-hmm. I want to find a partner. Yeah. I want to move somewhere. By. Like, and a lot of us put so much pressure on ourselves to be like, I want to do this next thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you want it all like, at once at the same time. 100%. And then when you get that, I guess when you get there, what happens then?
Yeah.
I think in my case, it would be it's okay to not be okay at everything.
Yeah.
Like I think sometimes when we first, on this side, I was in the military before I went into this world. So I came from a world that was very regimented and it was very planned. I was in charge of 30 wonderful soldiers and everything was like planned out to the T almost, or so it looked to the public. And so I came from this very structured environment to coming to this startup world where it's not structured at all. Mm. When we first raised the money from Connect Ventures, Sitar, the managing partner there, said to me, Matt, you're coming from an army officer background. Do you think you're going to be able to cope with this chaos world? And I was like, well, yeah, because I'm in charge here. It's my company with Georgia. I'm gonna make it regimented and make it sort of structured and systematic. Within 6 months, she was bang on right. Unsurprisingly, she's a very successful VC. But it's accepting the fact that things are out of your control. And you, no matter what you have in your head, it's never going to be that way. So like if you're building a product, we've now learned it's going to take 6 months longer and it's going to cost you 100 grand more and it's going to break and it's not going to be perfect. And by the time you release it, you'll be like, oh, that's rubbish. And I think therefore accepting that it's okay not to be perfect and actually no one is. And actually a lot of very successful people in whatever field that is, be it entrepreneurship, sports, et cetera, are just winging it.
Yeah.
And they're just making it up. Mm-hmm. Everyone, when they come on these podcasts or books or films or interviews, everyone puts on a front of like, got all my shit together.
That's the whole
like,
reason we ask this question. Because we're like, everyone is putting on a front most of the time.
Totally.
And so we're like, tell us what your shit at. That's why we ask this question. Like,
I mean, I found really difficult managing people as opposed to leading them. I've really struggled with that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why with the smaller team now and having the team in the States and the city reps, I'd much prefer this more flatter hierarchy where Harry's just one of us and like we'll be involved in a lot of the conversations that we have and the city reps there's no like, oh, well, we're the co-founders and you're this. Mm. 2 years ago, I would have been like, no, it has to be this hierarchical thing. I don't think it's necessary at the stage that we're at. So that's a massive lesson for me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, what's the future for Thursday then? Where do you guys want to take it?
Oh, it's global, baby. I think it's very exciting, actually, what's about to be released for Thursday. Obviously, we run these Thursday events that are very much hosted by us, Thursday exclusive. We're going to sort of flip the model on its head a little bit where our members and our users can actually host their own events based on the interests that they're, of what they want to do, be it a run club, be it a cooking class, be it a bar, be it a pub crawl, and people can like list their own events. Like kind of think like a meetup slash Eventbrite of being single. So rather than just going to our bars that we put on and there's one in the city, you can go to loads of different interesting, cool things around you.
It allows that user to also monetize almost create make a business through us, but create an income through us.
So oh, wow. If so you really want to get money from
events,
exactly. Like that.
We won't be us touching the ticket money. It's on them. So
And so, it's the user generated stuff because we can only take the events so far with us Thursday pushing it through the city reps, through everything. We want our users, and there's some very passionate people who are just the connectors within society. Mm. I think they say 1 in 10 or 1 in 7 is the connector in their friendship group, and they're the organizer, like allowing them to do that without us having to touch it. We'll just give you the platform and a ton of single people on that platform to try and attract. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get there because you need a lot of users, like a shitload of users. So until that's released, probably in the summer, we're very much focusing on more events, more cities, more niches, and allowing people to come to our events without having to have a dating app profile. Because I think we're really feeling it now from our own user base. People really do fucking hate dating apps and really don't want to be on them. And if they are on one, they're on Tinder, Bumble or Hinge. They don't need to be on Thursday as well to come to one of our events.
Yeah. Right now we force them to create like a whole dating app profile, verify their account even with like photo ID. It's like Fort Knox trying to get into our app. It really is. And so we're kind of just making it much lighter for them to get tickets or see what's going on.
Yeah. That sounds amazing, and I'm really excited for Thursday. So people can you want people to download the app? They want to follow on social? Yeah. What do you want them to do?
Yeah, download Thursday on the App Store, and our social media handles are Thursday Dating, at Thursday Dating.
At Thursday Dating.
Amazing. Well, we always end the podcast by asking people their one piece of advice that they would give to their 20-year-old selves. So if you could look at George, Harry, and Matt in the eye and give them just one piece of advice that would see them through their 20s, what would you want to say? Do you want to think about that one, George, and we'll come back to you?
Yeah.
Mine would be, I was, again, in the army in my 20s and I absolutely loved it. It was wicked. And I think I spent my whole 20s traveling, doing lots of cool army stuff. And I think instead of, like alluded to what George said earlier, I would just appreciate what you're doing at the time. Don't look forward to, but what am I going to be doing in my 30s and how am I going to earn more money? Just enjoy whatever you're doing because your 20s whiz by. And like I say, that as a 33-year-old, that your 20s go by very, very quickly and it doesn't matter what you're doing then, as it does, but it's not life defining. Mm. It's not life changing. If you want to go traveling, go traveling. If you want to go to university, go to university. If you want to go work in the local pub because you enjoy chatting with the local, go and do it. Like, it doesn't really matter. What you do in your 20s doesn't define the rest of your life. And I think I would make the most of them.
I would say, like, building connections with people. Mm. And like, it doesn't cost a lot to be kind to anyone, no matter who it is or who you come across in life, and just carry on building those connections, because you don't know who your next friend can be, employer could be. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd say to myself, like, back then, carry on doing that, because you don't know who you could bump
into. Because how you found this job was through working in another one, right?
Well, yeah, literally sitting on an office desk, sitting at a desk at reception is how I got this job. So
it was a character.
Yeah, I got it from personality high, was I?
Well, you're still here now, so you must be good for something.
I'd say to my 20-year-old self, not that we've made it at all. We're far from it. I'd say we're still very much still at the start of our journey with this whole thing. But don't be so stressed about money. I think I really was all about sort of trying to save and claw away for on a rainy day in a few years' time, I'll be okay if I save. I think there's a lot of money to be made out in the world very quickly. And I think the world has changed a bit where that can be generated faster, rather than sort of sitting there for years on end and waiting for your 25-year pension or something. I think it'd be generated quite quickly. So I think just don't worry about the money. And as long as you've got a roof over your head and shelter and food on the table, that's kind of where I would say just go with it, wing it, and enjoy the moment. And I think the money will follow if you do what you really want to do.
Worst case scenario, just move to Bali
and start dating out.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio. I'm really excited to see the future of Thursday. I think you guys have smashed it and are continuing to smash it. So congratulations. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a comment down below. If you're listening on YouTube, please leave a 5-star review. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and come back again next week for another episode of the Talk 20s podcast.